fathers here today too, and all our dads in the room and our father figures. Not all have children that are great coaches and other mentors in our life, so we thank the guys but the church, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the men in our church who are endeavoring to walk for the Lord and live for Jesus. You're making an impact in our world and in our community. Today's a good Father's Day for me personally. I get to have both of my daughters here. I am I'm an empty nester, but one is home for one more week. One is home for just this weekend, and then they're both in Florida, and then we're officially forever until Jesus comes back empty nesters. And so it is truly a privilege and a treasure for Heather and I to have our girls home this weekend. It's also a blessing to have Heather's dad here this weekend as well with us, and of course my nephew and my niece and my great niece. It's good to have them as well. We're going to have some hamburgers and hot dogs a little bit later. Get a grill your own Father's Day. Anybody get a grill their own Father's Day meal today? All right, any of us? So I'm excited to do it. I love to do it, actually, so I'm not complaining at all, but I am thankful to have my father-in-law here today. This is his first Father's Day without his wife of 57 years, and some of you may be in that boat today, too. That Father's Day is a catch-22. We celebrate it on one end. On the other end, we also recognize it's hard for some of you. Some of you in going through your first may have lost a loved one, may have lost a child in your life, and Father's Day, or you may have had a tough and difficult childhood, and it's hard for you to think and celebrate Father's Day. We recognize that, but we also recognize in the midst of that we have a perfect Heavenly Father who is so good in so many ways, who his grace is unbound, knows no bounds, whose mercy is infinite. We have a good Father. We have a great Heavenly Father. So we all celebrate that today, that we have a perfect Heavenly Father. We're going to kind of dive into a Father's Day message today before we go into the movie series next week. And to kind of kick us off, though, we'll kind of to tease us a little bit of where we're heading. I thought, man, we got to get warmed up for next week. And so this kind of helps us get where we're going today, because we're going to talk about making decisions and important ones. And so we're going to start it off with this first one. We're going to see if this works, this service.
We take off to that bayou.
Wait a minute. Who elected you leader of this outfit?
Well, Pete, I figured it should be the one with the capacity for abstract thought, but if that ain't the consensus view, let's put it to a vote.
Suits me. I'm voting for yours truly.
Well, I'm voting for yours truly, too.
Okay. I'm with you fellas.
Pick a side. I don't even really like that movie that much. I like half of it, and half of it just drives me up a wall, but that is one of my favorite scenes because it reminds us today that we need to pick a side. Guys, as I'm talking to everybody, but I'm kind of talking to the guys today as well. As a father, as a husband, as a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus today, or just in your profession, whatever your profession is, for me as pastor, just as a man, I think God gave all of us this natural instinct, this desire within us that, guys, I think we all share. I'm not saying ladies don't share this either, but I think, guys, we share this deep down desire that in whatever hat that we're wearing, we want to be successful. We want to be successful, and I don't think that's wrong. I think that's just the way that God has wired us. So whatever hat you're wearing, whether it's the dad hat, the husband hat, the vocation hat, whether it's the follower of Jesus hat, or whether it's just being a man, we want to be successful. And if I'm honest, there's times in my life where I feel wildly successful. I feel like I'm knocking it out of the park, and there's other moments that I feel like I'm an utter failure and that I'm striking out. It's just kind of this up and down, and sometimes I feel like one of these. I feel like, we can't use my orange Bronco. We better be able to use my blue Bronco one because we're not using the Chiefs. That's red, and so this is my day today, not you guys got your Super Bowl, I get Father's Day. Anyway, sometimes this is what I feel. I just bought one of these this morning and at a Walmart special, $2.07 for four of these if you want to get one after the service. I'm still working on it. I'm still getting better. But I use this to share how I feel sometimes. I sometimes feel like a yo-yo. I feel like I'm going up and I feel like I'm going down. What's really impressive, I just want to impress you just for a moment as I just picked this back up after 20-something years. Not that I did that 20 years ago either. But watch how I can talk and do this at the same time. It's pretty impressive. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I feel like a yo-yo sometimes. I was thinking about this is a 9-year anniversary for us. Means probably not a lot to you, but it means a lot to us. This day 9 years ago, actually it was the 14th, but this weekend 9 years ago was our first Sunday as your pastor. And you've got to watch me on my yo-yo journey. If you've been here for a while, you've got to see me yo-yo in some different areas. And sometimes I talk about them too openly. Sometimes Heather says too openly. But some of you know my journey. I've talked about this. I've talked about it recently even. My weight journey that I've been on the yo-yo path with you guys for the last 9 years. I've yo-yoed in my weight 30-pound differential from one to the other. And last October was my lowest. I was at my best. And I told Heather, mark my words, Heather, I'm never going back, ever. I'm never going back. I'm never going back to that place. If I even get 5 pounds above what I am right now in that moment, if I get 5 pounds above that, we're going back down. I'm never going back. I'm 10 pounds plus that level that I was. We're on the way back up right now, and we got to find a way to get back down. And then what do? They bring donuts here today. I was not a part of the staff meeting. I was out of town that had us bring donuts today. And I can skip the maple, and I can skip the glaze, but I couldn't skip the chocolate raisin. And so, amen. I got an amen from that one. So I've had that yo-yo journey with you. You've seen me in other areas. If I'm honest, there's this myth about pastors that we have our act together. Now, if I've been your pastor for 9 years, you know much better than that. But there's this myth that our pastors, that we have our act spiritually put together. I've had people say, I can't tell you how many times. I'd be rich if I got something for every time I heard this said. You have a direct access. You have a direct line to God. And that is not true. It is true in this way. It's the same direct line that you have. The same direct line that is given to us when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and gave us full access to the Father, who gave us full access to talk and communicate. So I don't have any more access than you. But there is this kind of myth out there that maybe pastors are more spiritually put together. But if I'm honest today, and I hope I've been here long enough to earn the right to maybe to be honest with you. The last month since Heather's mom passed, been kind of in a funk in my devotional life. We just kind of got busy with all that stuff going on, and then just dealing with that loss, and there's things you just don't always feel like it. And so some of you joined me in that journey January 1 for the Bible recap, and I'm supposed to be at like day 167. I'm at day like 134, 135 today. So, and nor am I going to try to catch up because it's too much. I'm just going to pick up where we left off and keep going. But if I'm honest this morning, I hope you'll let your pastor be honest. I'm praying, and I've been praying, but if I'm honest, in the last 30 days or so, I haven't felt like praying. Is it okay to say that? That there's times that we kind of just feel like we hit a wall, and we feel like we're going up and down, and if we can't be honest about that and share that, then we need to find a different place than a church. We need to find a country club where everything looks, we're a hospital. We're a place that we need, and I'm just telling you, there's times that we need to pick a side, and sometimes we don't always pick the right side. Sometimes I feel like a yo-yo going up and down, a yo-yo in and out, relationally, financially, spiritually, physically. There's times that we all, do we have any other yo-yos in here? Any other yo-yos? Oh, you know, lots more truth tellers in the second service. There was a bunch of liars in the first service. It's about 50% here, so I'm praying for 50% of you today. The others, you get it. Actually, we all get it. We don't want to raise that. We don't like to admit that we have our ups and we have our downs. There's moments where we're working on the marriage and we're investing in the relationship, and then there's moments that we just kind of take it for granted and we're not giving our best in that way. There's moments that we're making good financial decisions and we're using wisdom in our financial choices, and there's other times that we spend like there's no tomorrow. There's this thing that I don't have this problem with. Maybe you might have this, and let me say it this way. There was a guy that woke up one morning, it was the morning of church, and he was supposed to go to church. You might have heard about this, so forgive me if you've heard this before, but it was time to go to church, and he just told his wife, you know, I don't want to go to church today. And his wife said, come on, let's go to church today. It'd be good for us. We need to, it's like, I don't feel like going to church, and so I'm just going to set this one out. I don't want to go to church today. And the wife says, no, we're going to go to church. It's what we do. We're going to go to church today. And he said, no, I'm putting my foot down. I'm not going to church today. And the wife said, you have to go to church today. You're the pastor. I'm not judging you. I don't have choice. Unless I'm on vacation or something else, I'm in church, whether I feel like it or not. That's why, honestly, I'm so blessed when God has you all show up and he brings you in here and you respond in obedience and excitement and enthusiasm. I don't take for granted, our pastoral team, we don't take for granted that you have choices, lots of choices. But we believe every time you step in these doors, you're choosing to put God first. You're making him a priority in your life. You're choosing to come and worship. You don't have to be here. There's a lot of other things. You don't lack for things to do. But there's times that, sadly, in my 25 years of ministry, it breaks my heart when I see people get so excited about Jesus, even get baptized and be all in, and then all of a sudden it's like, where did they go? It's like sometimes we make a decision to miss one or two Sundays, and one or two Sundays turns into one or two months, and one or two months sometimes turns into one or two years, and sometimes two or three years turns into a long... I've seen that in 25 years. I've just seen those decisions, and I've seen those play out, and I've seen it just because we get in the yo-yo, and it's kind of a human nature. And so today, as we're kind of diving into this, my question for us as we start this morning is, what do we do when we're on the downside of that swing? What do we do when we're on the downside relationally or physically, especially spiritually? Where do we go? What do we do? I want to tell us we need to return to Shechem. I got the same stare from the first service that I'm getting from you. Return to Shechem. It's kind of fun to say. It sounds like you got phlegm coming out of your throat. I know. But today I want to talk about something and take us where I have never thought in a story, actually a verse that many of us love. We might have it on our computer screen. We might have it up in our home. We might have it, your grandparents might have it over their fireplace, over their mantle. You'll know that scripture when we get to it. But before we get there, I had never thought about this before until I was kind of studying on this. I was like, we first have to go to Shechem. So if you want to join me in Joshua chapter 24 today, we're going to go there in just a moment. But I want to talk about Israel and God's chosen and his called, his beloved. God's people, God's chosen, God's the children of Israel, they were chosen, they were called, and here was their pattern, here was their journey. They were called by God, they were chosen by God, they received enthusiastically that call, they accepted God as their God, and then they would begin to follow him and obey him and worship him and serve him, and then it would kind of get mundane and they would start to forget about God, and then after they neglected God, that would turn into full-on rebellion against God, and it just would cycle down a path that would lead to them suffering the consequences of them forgetting about God. And this life is hard enough without self-inflicted wounds, because we all live in a broken world where bad things and good things happen to good and bad people. That happens. But sometimes there's consequences that we face because we continue to go down a path forgetting God, ignoring God, having nothing to do, and it leads to a place of rebellion. And God allows us to suffer consequences for that, not because he hates us, but because he loves us and he wants us to do what the children of Israel constantly do in their yo-yo. We're not the only yo-yos. They were the first yo-yos. And they would get excited about God, follow God, worship God, serve God, then forget about God, neglect God, turn into rebellion, then turn into suffering consequences that would lead them back to a place that they would return to God. They would remember his goodness, and they would repent and come back to him. That's the pattern of Shechem. That's returning to Shechem. Israel's journey, where we're going today in Joshua chapter 24, and many of you know the famous passage we're going to hit today, Joshua 24, 15. I first got that on a mantle from my grandfather and his journey walking through cancer at age 74 in the last 6 months of his life in that Wichita hospital. But a plaque that my dad and I took into him was his testimony: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We love that. That is something many of us are familiar with. But I want to talk about what got us there and what gets us there. Where they find themselves in Joshua chapter 24 at the beginning is Joshua takes them back to Shechem because they had made it to the promised land. They'd made it to their crown achievement. They had made it to the place where God said, "This is the what I had promised Abraham. This is what Moses led you out of Egypt to get to. And now Joshua, now he's helped you enter into the promised land. You've made it. You're there." And what's he do when they finally make it to the promised land? He takes them to Shechem. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1 says this: "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." Shechem, I want us to get today that this is a place that you return to. A football coach or basketball coach or any coach, sometimes when things are going bad, they'll return to the fundamentals. They'll go back to the beginning, and they'll return to the fundamentals. And what we have here is what Shechem represents, an idea of returning. And it's significant. When we today, we look at it and go, what's the significance? There was no, it didn't slip by the Israelites. When they went to Shechem and Joshua led them to Shechem, they knew what that meant. They knew several things about Shechem. Number one, they knew that that's where the blessing of God was promised to Abraham. Just 2 or 3 miles north in Shiloh is when God met Abraham. And he said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you so many descendants that if you look up at the stars, you can't even count them. If you look at the sand on the seashore, you can't even count that. That's how your offspring is going to be. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless all the peoples of the world through you. I'm going to bless your socks off." That's what Shechem was. They knew that to return to Shechem was Joshua was reminding them, God promised to bless our socks off. But then Shechem was also a place when Jacob, after a 20-year hiatus from home, running for his life from his brother Esau, who he had betrayed. He had made amends with Esau. He had made things right, and now he was on his way back home. But before he got back home, he stops in Shechem. And it's in Shechem he calls all of his family and all the Israelites to bury their idols, to cast down their idols and to bury their idols at Shechem, to all their foreign gods, that we're gonna get serious about returning and following God and worshiping God and God alone. And so he said, first of all, remember that God's blessed you. That was Abraham. And remember his grandson Jacob. Jacob returned here and he buried the idols. So he was blessed. They buried the idols, and then Joshua had him build an altar. He built an altar of worship. He said, this is a place. Shechem, I want to remind you, is a place. I brought you here as we enter into the promised land. I'm bringing you to Shechem because I want you to remember and I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember the goodness of God. I want you to remember who he is, and we're going to read about that in a moment. I want to remind you that we need to bury our idols, anything that comes before God. We need to bury those here, and we need to walk into the full promise of God without other gods that we're worshiping. And finally, we need to build an altar. We need to establish a place that we are going to be reminded that we are going to worship God. So they return to Shechem to be reminded of their blessings, to bury their idols. and to build an altar. And so now we go into verse 3. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah and the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham to the land beyond the Euphrates and led them throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country to Seir, to sire of to Esau, but Jacob to his family went down to Egypt." Already three or four times we've heard God talk about himself in the first person, or Joshua talk about him in the first person. I want us to see in the next 8 or 9 verses the same thing we saw in these first two verses, that God said, "I don't want you to forget who did this. It's I that has showered you with grace and mercy. It is I that has been faithful to you. It is I who have led you." And so I want us to see as we go through this, I want you to see over and over, you're going to see I or he, that either I did it or he did it, referring to God, that it is God, not us. That it's not our works, it's not us. And I know that goes against our Western culture, our way of the United States of America, that we are individualists, that we built ourselves, we made ourselves, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and it was our talent and our abilities and our strengths and our gifts. And God is saying, uh-uh. Every, as it says in James, every good and perfect gift is from God, from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good thing that we have is from him. We shouldn't forget that either. Just the gift of our breath this morning, that we woke up, that we didn't earn. God gave us breath this morning to get up, to live, and to breathe. God gave us a freedom to come to this church this morning. God has given us the people that are around us today. These are all gifts from God. It's not something we earned or deserved. It's something he gave us. So as we continue, "Then I sent Moses and Aaron. And when I brought you people, when I brought the people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen, far horsemenanas." I would put some Spanish in there. "Far as the Red Sea, but they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians." I'm sorry, that gets me funny. "He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. But it was I who brought you out of the land of the Amorites who lived the east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared a fight to fight against Israel, he, God, sent Balaam, son of Beor, to put him as a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you into his hand." I. It's God. It's him. It's not us. We didn't do it. "Then you crossed the Jordan and you came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Gergesites, Hivites, and Jebusites." You say them really fast. No one knows if you pronounce them right or not. "But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. It is his power that we live. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." I. It's God. Every good gift that I have in my life is God. God wants us to recognize that. I know there's some tough things going on in our lives, but every good thing, and even the grace to get through those things, every good thing is from God. I have no good thing apart from God. I have no good thing apart from Jesus. And honestly, when I was praying last night, when I was praying this morning before I got up here, I was reminded, I have no good thing from God to share with the people. If God, if you don't go with me up here. I have nothing good of myself and on my own, and it's just a speech, it's just a lecture, it's just a talk, if I don't have God and his Holy Spirit coming with me. We need God. It's God. It's God. It's God. And so he lays down this challenge. He said, "Hey, I've had you return to Shechem so I could remind you of what God has done for you and what he's done here in the past and what he'll do in the future. And because I'm here and because you're here, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the God of your ancestors' worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord in light of what God has done. We sang one of my favorite songs today, What He's Done. What He's Done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. I love singing that song. And the first time I heard that song, it was 50,000 young people, about 25 of our young people in Atlanta. I got to watch it online. They were singing this song, What He's Done, together, praising the God of all God and the King of all kings. What He's Done, what He's Done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My name is in heaven. I praise God for what He's done. I love that song. If I love it all by myself, that's okay. I get my own goosebumps. I love what he's done. God, what God has done for you and me. What he's done, if we would begin there and start there. And knowing that he reminded them and what he's done for them, he says, now, because of that, fear God. Fear the Lord. Be in awe of him. Serve him with all faithfulness. And throw away the gods beyond Egypt. And then he lays down the gauntlet. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves. Make a decision. Pick a side. Get off the fence. Make a decision whom you're going to serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, it's time to pick sides. It's a day of decision. And oh, by the way, I'm going first. I'm going first. And I'm going to choose to follow God, and my family's going to follow God, whether the rest of you choose to or not. That is a decision of resolve that I think every one of us need to wrestle with, every one of us need to make. Because it's easy to worship God on Sunday, but it's hard to obey him on Monday. It's easy to worship God when we're on the mountaintop, but it's hard to worship him when they're valley. And every single day, I know that the enemy is on the attack in our church and in our community and any follower of Jesus. You know what he's trying to do? He just wants to get people to quit. If he can just get people to quit, if he can get them discouraged and defeated and discouraged about themselves and their sins and their faults and their failures, if he can just get people to quit, that's all that he wants to do. Or if he can't get you to quit, he might just make things so good for you that you'll forget about him. Because it's easy to forget about God when everything is going so good and so great, and we have all the maybe financial blessings and all the relational blessings and everything. It's easy to forget about God too. Whatever the case, the enemy wants to break us away from God. So we choose for yourselves this day. Make a decision today. Pick a side today. Get off the fence today. We have to decide before the trials come. Because when the trials come, that's where we're going to be tempted to give up on our faith, to quit on God and walk the other way. It's when the trials come and the tests come that we'll be tempted to quit on our marriage, to be tempted to quit on our family, to be tempted to quit on our relationships. We have to make a decision now when we're not feeling it, or when there's not a feeling for or against. We need to make a decision today. To pick a side. Dads, we got to pick a side. Pick a side so our family that one day that they'll walk with the Lord, that they'll serve the Lord. And look at he lays down this challenge, and look at their response. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. And they respond as they should, enthusiastically. And affirmatively, they're like, we're going with you, God. Why wouldn't they? They've just been reminded of all the good things that God has done in their life. They've been reminded of all of his blessings. Yeah, we're going to serve you, God, because you're good to us. But what about when the chips are down? Think about my father-in-law today, and I think 2 years ago, we had this big celebration when Mary was declared cancer-free. We went out that night. This isn't my my father-in-law's generous, don't get me wrong. He left the room for a minute so I can talk about him. He was incredibly generous that night. I think the bill that night for the dinner we had was $600, $700, $800. He didn't care. We were celebrating. We'd been given the good news, cancer-free, and we were praising God and we were worshiping God. But I'm telling you what's equally important and even more important is when you're on the deathbed and you're breathing your last, that it's so important to you that the only thing that mattered to Heather's mom is that all of her grandkids and all of her kids and all of her great-grandkids, that all of them know Jesus. That's what mattered. Nothing else mattered. Nothing. So whether it's Jesus on the mountaintop or Jesus in the valley, we have to make a decision today. Who am I going to serve? As for me and my household, Joshua said, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they said, yes, we're going to serve the Lord because God is good. And Joshua says, hey, life's going to happen. Things are going to get difficult. So, hey, he challenges them. He double dog dares them. He lays it down. He says, you're not able to serve the Lord. He's testing their man. He's challenging their manhood. He says, you're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. That doesn't mean God doesn't forgive our rebellion and our sins. It just means don't take God lightly. Don't treat God flippantly. Yes, God is gracious. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Yes, he forgives us over and over. But don't mistake that God wants us to make a decision to choose him. Doesn't mean we'll follow him perfectly, but he wants us to decide whether we're in the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley. We're going to go with you, God. We're going to worship you. So Joshua says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been so good to you, not because he doesn't love you, but because he wants you to return and repent and remember.
Any of you feel you don't want to be on a team, feel free to leave right now. Did you hear what I said?
Me?
Yes, you.
Sure, I'm just curious to know when we start.
We start when I say so.
Okay, would you kind of let me know, because I'm kind of getting
tired
of standing.
Out of here, right now.
You're kicking me out?
Yes, don't come back until you learn to keep your mouth shut and listen.
Break my heart. Come on, Whit, let's fly this chicken coop. Didn't you say you'd rather be down at Terhune anyway?
It's your funeral.
Let's move, Gizzard.
I ain't no Gizzard.
Pick a side. Make a decision. That's one of my favorite movies. We didn't show the clip that those guys come back and they're given a second chance and they go on to win the championship. And that's how our God is. He doesn't give up on us. He invites us back and he's always there for us. But God does come to a point too. He says, you need to pick a side. You need to choose for yourself whom you're going to serve, whom you're going to follow. And the people said to Joshua, no, they're resolved. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And they said, yes, we are witnesses. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. He said, guys, put your money where your mouth is. Faith requires action. The book of James says, and Pastor Aaron did a good job of talking about this last week, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith without actions is dead. Now, this doesn't mean that we earn salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. But our actions are going to change. God, if we're truly following Jesus, we're giving God permission to change us. We're giving the Holy Spirit permission to move where he wants us to move and do what he wants us to do. And that's what he calls us to. He calls us to put God first. And Joshua's like, you need to put God first. back to the verse we all love, but a serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Choose. Pick a side. Dads, pick a side. Ladies, pick a side. But there's something about dads, when we pick a side, our families will follow if we'll pick Jesus. Our families will follow this day. Decide, pick a side, really decide. God has chosen us. He's called us. The choice is ours. The decision is ours. I see five decisions from this passage. Five possibilities today. One is we can receive, remember, return, resolve, or reject. Those are the only five options that I see that each of us in this room make today. One is that one, and I would ask that in this moment, I'm going to just define what each of those are. I would just ask that you take a moment to do some self-reflection and just say, God, who am I on this? As I describe these five things, where do I fit? And just be honest with yourselves today. I'm going to be honest with you and tell you where I am today. To resolve, that's a good place to be. That's where we want to be. To resolve is to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, that He's forgiven you of your sins, that you are truly going to be obedient to Him. You've picked a side. You're not turning back. You're going to go with Him. You're going to go with God. You're going to follow Jesus. You're going to follow Him no matter what. You're going to follow Him. And that's a great place to be. And if that's where you are today, praise God for that. Praise God for that. That's where we want to be as followers of Jesus. We want to be resolved to follow Him no matter what comes our way. Then there's the place where sometimes we need to remember. I would describe this as a place that Jesus Christ is your Savior, but if you're honest, He's not your Lord today. You're thankful His grace and thankful His mercy, but you want to call the shots. You want to be in charge. Or this was a place, remember, we can slip down a slope where we love God, but we just begin to forget about Him. We begin to take Him for granted. We maybe kind of get a place that we neglect a little bit. Revelation says, when you do this, remember from the place that you've fallen. Remember how far you've fallen and return to me. Because if we don't remember, then we get to this place where we need to return to Him. That our forgetting God, our neglect of God, our just taking Him flippantly and taking Him lightly leads to a place that we just find our place that we never maybe thought we would be, but we find in our place in rebellion. And we find ourselves completely not even caring about God, not even giving Him a thought or a consideration, and we're just going to do whatever we want. We're going to satisfy whatever desires that we have. We're going to live for ourselves, and that not remembering God can lead to a place where we rebel against Him, and then we begin to suffer the natural consequences of our rebellion. And life is hard enough without self-inflicted wounds. But God does allow consequences to come into our life, not because He hates us, but because He wants us to return to Him. He wants us to repent and come back to Him. Then there's this place to receive. And that's if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. And most every week we give you an opportunity to do that because we believe the best life is following Jesus Christ and knowing that He died for your sins, that He doesn't treat you as your sins deserve, that He has a great plan and a great purpose for your life, and He has a home for you in heaven. And so we invite most weeks for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a great place to be. Maybe you've never done that. That's a step. Or the alternative to that that we don't want, but it's a reality, is we can reject Jesus. We can reject God. And we can get to this place that we go, when to reject God is to know that God died on a cross for your sins, that you've heard the gospel, you've heard the good news, that He loves you, that He's paid the price for your sins, He's invited you to have a relationship with Him, for you to make Him the Lord and Savior of your life, and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. Those are the five places. Those are the five possibilities. We can receive him. We can remember. We can kind of get forgetful and say, God, bring me back to you. Return when we've just flat out rebelled or resolved that we're going to follow God or reject. And here's where I want to be. And here's where I'm not saying I'm not here, because, guys, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. I am resolved to that. But if I'm honest with you today, in the last month, I hope I can be honest as your pastor, but sometimes we get on that yo-yo. And my yo-yo's been a little bit down. And I know Christ is my Savior. And I even know he's my Lord, but I don't always... Sometimes I just go with my feelings more than I go with my faith. And our relationship with God is not about feelings. It's about a faith in him. And so today I've just been as I... Whenever I preach a message, don't ever think I preach a message and go, this is for you. It's for me first. And I feel like God's been calling me to say, hey, remember how good I am. Remember how good I am to forgive you and to not treat you as your sins to deserve. Remember when I called you and I chose you and I made you my child. Live in that. Return to that. So I just feel like that's kind of... So today, would you just kind of look at that and go, where are you on that? And could you just be honest with yourself for a moment? My challenge today is, no matter where you are, we don't have to leave that way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? Heavenly Father, in these next few moments, Lord, I celebrate our dads today. I celebrate our fathers, and I thank you, God, that we take a moment to thank you for the men in our life, and thank you for my dad. Thank you for my father-in-law. Thank you the blessing to be a dad. But Lord, today may we be most reminded of our Heavenly Father. May we be reminded of your steadfast love, your unfailing love. May we be reminded that when we feel like a yo-yo, you are always steady, you are always strong, you never falter, you never fail. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your love doesn't change. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. I did this in the first service. It took just a couple more minutes, but I just asked you to be honest before God. It's not important that I see you, but this is just, where do you see yourself in this? And no one's looking around, because this is you and God. But just by a place, I'm going to say these five areas, and maybe not in order of what they're here, but maybe today you're like me. You're like, you know what? I need to remember. I know God loves me, and I know I'm his child, and I'm forgiven, but I've been living more by my feelings than I have by my faith, and I remember him today. If that's you, and that resonated with you, would you just raise your hand today? Express that to God? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of us in this boat. What about you're at a place that you need to return? You've gone farther than you planned on, and honestly, you don't know how you kind of ended up here today. But it's not an accident. God has you here. And he's inviting you to return to him. Maybe you've just been doing your own thing completely. But today, somehow, you ended up here on Father's Day. And he's inviting you to return. And you want to return today. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking around. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What about this? This is okay. You're in a place of resolve. You're in a good place right now. You're following God. You're following Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior of your life. You're letting him lead you in your relationships and your finances and in your daily decisions. You're not perfect, but you're following. You're really resolved in your walk with him. And you're maybe on the mountaintop right now in your walk with him. Let's just praise God for that. No one looking around still, but just say, thank you, God. That's a place to say, give thanks. Would you just raise your hand and say, thank you, God? You're giving God thanks for that. Yeah, I see you. God sees you. Thank you, Jesus, for resolved. This was the hard one, and there was a few honest people in the first service, and I don't blame anyone for not raising their hand, even though no one's looking around. But you're in a place that you've heard the good news, but for whatever reason, you're rejecting this. It's not for you right now. And you'd say, hey, I'm just not there, Pastor, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure about this stuff. But I'm going to be open to it. If you're just in a place of rejecting, you're like, I'm not ready for this today, and you want to be honest, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand that God can see that. I thank you. I see you. I want to say God loves you. Wherever we are on the spectrum here, it does not change God's love for us. And then finally today, maybe you're at a place on this Father's Day, the best thing that you can do is give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and let him be your Lord and Savior. And if that's you, you just raise your hand this morning. Yeah. Some of you have already raised your hand. You're raising it again because you want to receive him today. Anybody else? Thank you. Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to pray a prayer as we close our Father's Day, one that you're familiar with. We're going to pray a prayer of faith, not feeling, but faith. Today is not about emotion. Today is about choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve, that you're going to serve the Lord. And so let's make this an affirmation of our faith today. Would you repeat after me as an affirmation of our faith today? Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins and was raised from the grave to give me life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen? Amen? Do you believe it? Amen. God bless you.